All right. Well, good morning once again. I'm calling Audible. Is Annie still here? Annie, how are you doing on your funding?
All done.
Done? All right. It's a good thing. I was going to beg you to fill it out. So let's give her a hand. Yeah, it's awesome. Very exciting stuff. So what do you think it was? How did we get from this, what the Bible would depict as the nativity scene, to this? How did we get as a country, as a people, going from celebrating Christmas and all it is with Jesus being born into the world to Santa Claus, presents, Christmas trees, and all of that good stuff? Do you know that this year, advertisers are going to spend $1.5 billion on TV advertising through the holiday season, and another $5.8 billion on digital advertising to get you to buy their stuff. There's a lady, she's a professor, I forgot which college it was, but she's got a PhD in history, and her forte is pop culture. And that sounds like kind of a fun PhD, right? And I was reading an article, and she suggests that there's two turning points in history that took us from the focus of Jesus being born and that being the focus of Christmas to all the commercialization that takes place. And one of those, she said, was in 1840. And in 1840, what happened was the idea of Christmas and giving presents to kids made its way up to the Northeast and the cultural centers of New York City and Boston. And these retailers realized that if they could focus on this whole idea of giving gifts to our kids, that they could use that and commercialize that and have that be the focus. The whole German immigrants came in. And actually, before 1840, before the 1800s, the Puritans, when they came over, they made it illegal to worship or to celebrate Christmas. But the German immigrants that came over and some others had an influence and brought over the idea of Santa Claus or Saint Nick and this guy that would go out and give presents on December 6th every year. And all that started to infiltrate America. And this is what Dr. McClellan Nugent, this lady, said. They were marketing a Christmas experience in which your children will love you and your family will be happy together. All you need to do is buy their stuff, right? She said the other turning point was in the 1920s and 1930s. How many of you remember that? Just kidding. In the 1920s and 1930s, we had this, the Industrial Revolution was taking place. Things were being mass produced. The advertising and commercialization started to trend toward the South also. And Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which kicked off the shopping season, was the first one was 1927, I believe. At the end of it, Santa Claus would be there. And so Coca-Cola in 1930 gave us the picture of who Santa Claus would look like. And so that's kind of how I gravitated toward the red suit and the big chubby guy with the beard and all that kind of stuff. And this is what she said. And then after the war, after World War II, people finally had money and they started buying everything. And this is what she said. The pressure is on parents to buy gifts for their children, McClellan Nugent said. The feeling of guilt is absolutely intentional. If you don't buy it, your children won't have that. And who would want that? You don't want to be you want to be a good parent. And that's the whole idea of the commercialization of Christmas. How can we have an outside influence on people to want to do something? And then the guilt. Oh, the guilt. What would you like for Christmas? Well, I want this thing that costs $2,000. Wrong family. I don't know what to tell you, right? I mean, we have to figure this thing out. And so the guilt is just weighing on us. Well, I would suggest that the first commercial ever given about the birth of Jesus actually came in Luke chapter 2. And I want us to look at that today of the first commercialization or the first advertisement of this Christ child that was to be born. And it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And let's see how it compares to the commercials and advertisements that we might see today. For example, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. This was the audience that the first advertisement of Jesus' birth was going to be made to. The first advertisement were to a group of people that were his example. They were his example. They were the people that Jesus, that God the Father, wanted people to see that the Savior that was being born, we needed to think about him like a shepherd. The rhythm of a shepherd. Shepherds would rise before dawn in the first century. They would lead sheep from secure folds to fresh grazing, guided by voice, not by force. If you remember that video I shared, I don't know, it's been a few months ago now, and I think it was back in the Easter series we were doing, and we showed a video that some people would call to some sheep and nothing would happen, but when their shepherd called, those sheep heard his voice and came running. When we compare that to who Jesus is, we know that also when we rise up in the morning, we're venturing out into the world as Christians under the mighty protective arm of God and through our faith in Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd. He leads us to fresh grazing, to the good stuff of life, and he guides us by his voice, which we, of course, call the Bible. During the daytime, they guide sheep to good grass and water, finding shade at midday, constant vigilance. When we become Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, guiding us and directing us. And if we'll listen to the Spirit's voice, we are probably going to go to some pretty good grazing during the day. But when we don't listen to his voice, that's when we find danger. At nighttime, they would return the flocks to folds or caves, working in shifts to guard against threats. We too have God and his mighty chorus of angels watching over us, even at nighttime as we sleep, knowing that our God has it under control and that he's guiding us and protecting us. Seasonal moves, they follow fresh growth, post-harvest stubble, spring shoots, to higher, cooler ground in the summertime. God knows every single move that you're making and everything in life that you and I need, and he will guide us there as our good shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be want," in Psalm 23. And Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep." All of this has to do with this example of shepherding and sheep, and that we are his sheep. And so when the first commercial, the first advertisement was made about the birth of Jesus, it's no surprise that it would be made to a group of shepherds. Luke 2:9-12. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.'" The first advertisement had a hook. We all know that when we watch an advertisement, we watch a commercial, there's something that's like, you know, if I buy that golf club, I can hit it as far as that guy's hitting it, right? If I buy that stuff, I'll smell as good as that person. I'll look as good as that person. I don't want to wear the stuff that's out of date if I buy that stuff. But there's always this hook of, man, I got to go check that out, right? I want to go see what's happening at that place. There are some of you, when I see your kids on stage last week, I'm like, I want to go to dinner at their house because I'm sure it's a whole lot of fun, right? And we know there's a hook. There's something that tempts people, that draws people in to say, I want to go get that. When that person's drinking that cold Mountain Dew after a long day of work, I'm like, you know, honey, I really need to go buy that Mountain Dew because they're advertising just to me, right? Well, the same deal when we have our first advertisement, there was a hook. Under you is born the city of David, a Savior. Well, if you're an Israelite in the first century, you're looking forward to this Messiah coming. You've read the Law and the Prophets. You know that someone is coming to save, that God knows what's happening. He hears you. He sees you. And finally, this advertisement that comes from the angels to the shepherds and says, listen, the Savior is coming. And that's enough of a hook for the shepherds to say, we got to go check this out. It says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy." This is going to be a good and healthy thing that's happening. And then again, that's enough for the shepherds to say, we've got to go check this thing out. Have any of you watched any of the perfume commercials that come on, especially this time of year? Is there any weirder commercials that you've ever seen? I mean, Natalie Portman running, pushing, fighting, clawing, water, desert. I'm like, what in the world are they selling here? I have no idea. I guess I get to smell like everything. I don't understand. Johnny Depp. I mean, when's that guy's contract going to run out on that stuff, right? It's just awful. But the whole hook is, buy this and you'll look this way, you'll feel this way. And in the same way, the first commercial that came to the shepherds was, listen, you need to pay attention because the Savior that God has promised has come into the world and you need to go check this out. Suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. How many of you could have said that part without me reading it for you? It's just part of where we are at Christmas, right? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right? It's just rolls off our tongue. Well, the first advertisement had a jingle, right? The first advertisement had a jingle. It's something that we cling to, something that we remember when it comes to the angels talking to the shepherds and the song that they sang. Let's see how good you are at jingles, all right? Like a good neighbor. Nice. I wish I was an Oscar. I was just checking your age on that one. Here's another one, checking your age. Pop, pop, fizz, fizz. You guys are awesome. This is a little harder one. Break me off a piece of that. All right, thank you. There's a good Office episode about that. You can look that up later. Every good advertisement has a jingle, right? Something that you can cling to, something you can hang on to, something that helps you remember. The first advertisement about Jesus' birth was no different. There was a jingle that came with it. Glory to God in the highest. This is not about you, shepherds. This is not about the Israelites. This is about the God who saves. When people come here to church and we say, listen, it's not about you. It's about worshiping the holy God that created you and sent his son to die on the cross for you. And so while we get to benefit personally from this relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in each one of us individually, make no mistake about it. This is about the one that we come to worship when we come together, not about us. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. It worked. The commercial, the advertisement worked. The angels said, woo! And maybe it was all the angels. Maybe it was being scared to death. Maybe it was the message of the Messiah, the jingle. But they're like, we're going to check this out. And they went with haste. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The first advertisement stirred action. You've got to go get this now. How many advertisements have you seen that said, hey, the sale only goes on until Friday. The Meijer Santa Bucks, they're only good this weekend. You got to get there quick. You get a text saying, hey, today only, if you do this, or Black Friday special, it's only coming at this time. It causes us to stir action. And the first advertisement, the first commercial about Jesus being born into the world was no different. It stirred the shepherds to say, we got to go check this out. We don't want to miss this moment. And I hope in your walk, your daily walk, and especially if you've never surrendered to Jesus and never been baptized, uniting with Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection, that your thought is, I want to move with haste. I don't want to miss this opportunity to live the rest of my days as a Christian, as part of the family of God. And as Christians, I hope that we're not missing God's call when he puts things all around us saying, this is where I'm sending you. This is how I want you to move, that we move with haste also. The last few verses, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The nativity absolutely was as advertised. How many of you, because of pictures you've seen on TV, you want this to look like what your dinner table is going to look like around Christmas time? Not that, that. And then how many of you, the reality is actually this? Things that we see and experience are not always as advertised. I remember one time, I never really gave in much to the whole Black Friday thing. And you know, when it was a big deal and they would open at midnight or 3 a.m. and you'd go and wait in line and all this kind of stuff. Well, there was one time, this will age me, but there was this digital camera that Target was selling. And I'm like, I'm going to buy that for my wife. Right. It's before we had phones, and I was a late adopter on the phones, too, by the way. But anyway, so I thought, OK, I'm going to go get this phone. It's digital. It's a brand name. It's Nikon or Canon, one of those two. And we're going to go. And so I go and I wait in line for this thing. And they just take you around this whole thing. They have all the Black Friday specials all laid out in the line. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. But anyway, so we go in and I grab this camera. I get up there. I buy it. I'm all excited. I give it to my wife for Christmas. She's all excited. She's snapping pictures. After 1 year, the thing's dead. Done. It was not as advertised. And what I came to learn is that a lot of these electronic companies, you don't have to record this part, I might get sued. They make stuff just for Black Friday, right? They put a lot of junk out there to get you and I to come in. It was not as advertised. I was kind of excited about this for my wife, and the whole thing just pooped out. I'm not supposed to say that word. It just out on me right there on right after 1 year. Right? It just was just a piece of junk. things are not always as advertised. How many times have you gone to say, oh, and you're just sorely disappointed because the commercial said, if you do this, 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 and I go, and really, that's it? I've ordered books online before, and I'm like, oh, that's a great price. And I get them, and they're like this big. Like, not like that thick, but like that big a book. It's like, how is anybody going to read that kind of thing? Things are not always as advertised. But the Nativity absolutely was as advertised. Angels came. Here's what you're going to see. Shepherds like, oh, let's go check it out. Baby's laying in a manger. That probably in itself was a little surprising to him to say, OK, we at least got to go check that part out. Right. Angel or the baby with the cows and the sheep and whatever. And then we got to go see who this couple is that Jesus was born into this world. And so the first advertisement that we had about Jesus was maybe comparatively what we see today. But it's about a truth. And it's about something that doesn't change. So what are the differences? What are the differences between the advertisements and the commercials that you and I see daily around Christmas time and the advertisement, the first advertisement we had about Jesus? Well, there's three differences that I can see. The one is that it's guiltless versus guilty. When we come to understand who Jesus is as Lord and Savior, it's not about the guilt. When we watch the commercials that are out there today, just as this lady we quoted earlier, it's all about the guilt, right? If you don't buy this for your kids, you're just flat out a bad parent, right? How many bad parents are out there today? Don't raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah. But we know that when we follow Jesus, when we surrender to Him, it's not about guilt. We're guiltless before Him because what He did for us on the cross, when He died for our sins, our guilt is gone. Any guilt that you're feeling about who you were and that's dragging you away from your relationship with Jesus, that's Satan. That is not Jesus. That is not the Holy Spirit. We are not been called. Guilt is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have not been called to stand guilty before Him. We've been called to stand guiltless before Him. Luke 2:11, if we go back to our passage, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. When we admit that we're a sinner in need of a Savior, and we admit that Jesus is that Savior, we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He is the only one that can save, we stand guiltless before Him. All of our sins have been washed away. The second difference that I see is inspiration versus imitation. Inspiration versus imitation. All of these calls in the commercials that we have are, come be like these people. Come be like your neighbors. Come be like your coworkers. Come be like this person that you hang out with. Come be like, and the whole thing is set around how you can be like the rest of the world. They're calling us to an imitation lifestyle where we will just imitate everything around us that we see, hoping that that will bring happiness and joy in our lives. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Jesus and His life and His coming into this world is about the inspiration that we can have that there is a better way, a better life, a better hope and mercy and grace and love that's waiting for us if we'll surrender to Him and to His will. The third difference that I see is that we have peace versus pressure. Peace versus pressure. There's a lot of pressure out there at Christmas time, and I give into it as much as anybody that you'll ever meet. I love buying stuff for Christmas. I go nuts at Christmas for my sons. It's a good thing they're out of the house now because I'm saving a whole bunch of money not having them around. Well, I don't even know if I'm doing that. But I just love buying. And sometimes it's just the pressure of, I just want us to be happy and have fun. And this thing might have let them have fun, more fun. They might enjoy it more if they have one of these. And we have this pressure around us to be good parents and to be a good family and to have all this fun. And it all comes with all these pictures that we see around us. But the fact is, Jesus came into the world for peace. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. He doesn't want us to feel the pressure around Christmas time. He wants us to experience the peace that came with Jesus coming into this world, settling our hearts that it's not about us, that it's not about satisfying the world, that it's not about satisfying other people. But instead, it's just about having a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit moving us within us. So what do we do with all this? I'll give you three real quick practical things, okay, that might be helpful to you. Number one, read the story. If you haven't yet this Christmas holiday season, I would encourage you just to sit down and read Matthew or Luke's account of Jesus being born into this world. And especially if you have children or grandchildren, nieces, nephews, just take the opportunity to slow down and say, hey, let's take this book off the shelf for a minute and let's read what the focus is really supposed to be about this Christmas time. Deuteronomy 11:18. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. How well do you know God's word? Not just read it, but like, how well do you know it? How many verses could just roll off the tip of your tongue? How many moments do you have in life where maybe your peace is starting to get robbed a little bit, your joy is starting to slip away, that you can lean into a passage of scripture and say, I know that Jesus promised us this. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Are these verses, is God's word in this scripture just rolling off your tongue, especially in these moments of pressure and anxiety and stress and grief, that we know God's word well enough to say, I want to go there and read about that when it comes to bringing true peace that can only come from Him. Secondly, reveal the story. Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Luke 14:23, the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. When it comes to the Christmas time, are you seizing the opportunity to reveal the story of Jesus and his birth to those around us? I know that we're all getting ready to go see family, and there might be that one family member, or it's you, that we really are not looking forward to seeing, maybe, right? They always say awkward things. They bring up politics at the dinner table, whatever it is. But I wonder what it would look like for you and I to be praying for that person, that we might be able to have an opportunity to reveal God's story to them this Christmas time. I mean, this is like this is so easy picking when it comes to having conversations about the gospel, right? Someone's out shopping for Christmas. And, oh, what are you doing? What are you spending Christmas? And then you're able to get into a conversation about it. I'm going to Christmas Eve service, or I'm going to have people over. No, we always sit down and we pray together. We talk about what Jesus' birth has meant to our family. Are you using the opportunity that we have, this great cultivated ground of Christmas season, to get into a conversation with somebody to reveal the story of who God is, how He created us, how He loved us and sent His Son to die for us? And third, reflect the story. 1 John 2:6 says, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. We have lots of opportunities to show people that we're Christians, don't we? And yes, it's done with words, but it can also be done with our life. I'm going to confess something to you this morning, okay? It's confession time from Andy. I've been coaching 8th grade basketball, and the second to the last game, I would not say that I exuded Jesus in my conversations with the referee of that game. I was frustrated. I was upset. I was ticked off. And afterwards, I'm like, I got to quit coaching because that has taken me to places I really don't need. I really don't need to be. I didn't get thrown out. I didn't get a technical foul. Probably that close, but I didn't. Right. And then sure enough, the last game of the year, that guy comes walking into the gym. And I'm like, great. God just humbled me. He's like, all right, Andy, how are you going to deal with this? And so I was well behaved on the sideline for that last game. But I had in my mind, 1 John 2:6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. I don't think Jesus would yell and scream at an 8th grade basketball game about a call that didn't get made. I don't think Jesus would go in elbowing people, getting the great deal on the TV when there's only one left, right? I don't think Jesus goes to the Christmas dinners thinking, well, I hope old Uncle Mordecai doesn't show up because I really don't want to face that guy again. I don't think that's how he would face those moments. So you and I have an awesome opportunity this Christmas season to say, how am I going to reveal and how am I going to share this story and know the story of Jesus? How am I going to reveal that to others that I come into contact with during this time? Romans 12:2, one of my favorites. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. In Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We've been in this series for the last four Sundays about the things that can steal Christmas, steal the joy, steal the peace, steal the hope that comes with Christmas. And of course, we stole it from the whole Dr. Seuss Grinch's thing, the Grinch that stole Christmas. But the fact is, just like Jeanette shared with us a couple Sundays ago, nothing can really steal Christmas from us, but the world will take it from us if we let it. The world will take it from us if we let it. So my prayer for us this holiday season, this Christmas season, as we focus on what the true meaning of Christmas is, that Jesus was born into this world, born of a virgin, miraculously came into this world, and he came to save. He came to teach us how to live, and he came to save us through the blood that he poured out on Calvary, on that cross, as he was crucified. My prayer is that grief and the calendar and stress and commercialism won't be able to steal that main thought, idea, focus that we have on Christmas away from you and I, but instead that we will be a people of God that stand up knowing the story, ready to share the story and reveal the story and reflect the story with our own lives, that's what people would see in us. I tried to look for a commercial that I thought might do a great job of advertising who Jesus is that might match up with the stuff we see on TV, and this is what I came up with.
Christmas isn't just a time to decorate your house, to spend time with loved ones, and to open long-awaited presents. Christmas is a time to remember. To remember that salvation doesn't come from within. It comes from above. To remember that infinitely better than the magic of Christmas is the miracle of Emmanuel. To remember that God was not and is not untouched by the pain and suffering of this world. To remember that Jesus isn't just part of the Christmas story, but Christmas is part of the Jesus story. To remember that there is no grace without a cross and no cross without a manger. To remember that Jesus doesn't just want us to remember what he did, but to join him in what he is doing. So this year, let the lights remind you of the light of the world who came into darkness for us. Let the gifts remind you of the greatest gift of all. And this year, make your heart like Bethlehem and receive the King.